This is Cashing Out with your host, Dustin Sweetelson, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, buddy, August the 12th, be with you on a Wednesday night. Welcome on into the show. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll be with you all night long from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can always catch the show, Sirius XM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Fired up to be with you as we inch closer and closer to football. That's a boy measurement inches, not girl measurement inches. I found out since being engaged, those are very different measurements. It's like the metric scale. It's very different between men and women there. Either way, we got a fun one lined up for you today. Bottom of this hour, former NFL GM, led the Cardinals for a long time. Steve Keim will be on the show. Very familiar with Kyler Murray. He drafted him in the desert. He was recently named a starter with the Minnesota Vikings. What does Steve Keim think about that move for Kevin O'Connell and company? In the next hour, Jake Cirkus joins from Bleacher Report with a look ahead to some college football win totals. We go to the Chargers beat with Fernando Ramirez as we have got a new OC in town, a new look Chargers squad, and they will begin their preseason coming up on Thursday. Eric Cohen from Sportsline with some golf plays, baseball as well, and Johnny Venerable on his way to Vegas. I don't think he's going to make it in time to be here in studio. He covers the Arizona Cardinals. They're quite interesting. As Carson Beck, every time I see a video on social media of Carson Beck, I go, you know what? This might be something. And then I got to reel myself back in and remind me. Call myself Samson, by the way. Don't call myself Dustin. I say Samson. Samson, it's preseason football. Samson, it's training camp. You don't know what he's going up against. I know it looks easy. I know he's throwing no-look passes. Dial it back on the Carson Beck love. But Johnny Venerable covers the Cardinals. He'll be with us in the final hour of the program. We're also going to look at a couple new quarterbacks, two veterans on new teams, where I think they're going to make each franchise way more competitive this year. But that doesn't mean I want to bet the over on their win total. Instead, I think it's one of these situations where we take these two teams, we select our spots depending on what numbers posted, and we look to back them as underdogs because they are going to be a punchy squad coming up in 2026. Also, defensive player of the year. There's a guy out there where it's a short number, but it's way longer than I thought it was going to be. Pause. And I think based on track record, where this player's at in their career, opportunity for them to be the value play on the board despite being somewhat short in the market. And then finally, we'll go to Eugene, Oregon. Some drama surrounding their running back today. Report saying he's going to be out for a couple months, then people dialing it back. Either way, I'm high on the Ducks, and I'll explain why I'm not that concerned if this running back is out for a large portion of the season. With that, let's get you situated with Major League Baseball. Just two live games in the window. Oh, we were spoiled the last couple days. I felt like I had my head on a swivel in here, getting ready for someone to run me over. But you know what? The theme remains the same. Los Angeles Dodgers, they don't look right. Something is fishy right now with LA. They trail the Royals 2-1. We did cash in game minus 135 yesterday. If we wanted to right now, we could get minus 147 on the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't hate the idea of doing that right now. I will wait a little bit here. We're in the third inning. Maybe we can get a better price when they're in the field or if Kansas City plates another run. The Royals bullpen, it's a gift. It's one element right now with my numbers in betting Major League Baseball that has been pretty consistent is that if I fade the Royals bullpen, good things happen to me. Everything else I'm using to handicap these games, that's going out the window. That's not working right now. But the Royals bullpen, certainly something we can exploit as it looks like Miguel Rojas has a one-out double in the third against Dustin Lynch. That moves the market to minus 176, so we may have missed our opportunity while I was filibustering about this situation. Plus $1.52 with KC the other way, despite having the lead by a run. 9.5 your in-game total. You have the Rangers with a 2-0 lead on the road in Anaheim. Just such a disappointing Rangers team. They always let me down. I had them to win the division at plus 340. It looked like that thing was going to come home. Then all of a sudden, they start scuffling. They're back to 500, and Houston's going to win the division. As Shohei Ohtani going to left center, and that's going to leave the yard. Oh, the Dodgers flipped the script in the bottom of the third. It is now a 3-2 game, thanks to Ohtani, his 27th of the season, 109.5 miles per hour. It travels 397 feet. So much for waiting for a better number there, Dustin. Minus 433 are the Dodgers with the lead right now. Kansas City, plus 356. 10.5, your in-game total. I don't hate the idea of the over. It is juiced at minus 140. Don't hate the idea of the over. Back to Rangers Angels, where we're in the third inning right now. One out. Texas leads 2-0. Corey Seager with his 12th home run of the season. He's hitting 199 on the year. What a waste of money. One of those guys that the Dodgers got off of at the right time. They knew they won that World Series in 2020. They let him go somewhere else eventually. He just can't stay on the field, and he's just not as good as the hit you would think so. Making, what, $32 million a year, I want to say? Corey Seager, what does he make? For what you're paying for, you should get a lot more production out of Corey Seager, even when he's just, you know, actually in the lineup. Good God. He's 32 years old. He makes $31.5 million, and he's going to do that until 2031. I don't know how you get out of that contract if you're Texas, but he did hit a home run today. We will tip our hat. We will give him plenty of credit, as that is why the Rangers lead on the road in Anaheim 2-0 in the third inning. Looking at the wild card standings in the American League, though, for Texas, they're currently in that final spot. However, they have a couple teams on their heels. Minnesota is a game back. Detroit is a game back. And in case you missed it earlier, well, they played each other. Minnesota with the win. I was on Framber Valdez. Minnesota played Baltimore, and they won. That's what happened. It was Detroit against Cleveland, and Cleveland won that one. First, Minnesota, 7-5. They beat the O's. One game back of the wild card. Baltimore moves to 2.5 back. And then as far as the other team I mentioned, Detroit losing to Cleveland. Framber Valdez allowed 4 earned runs again, and I thought he was going to turn a corner post Scooble being traded, but unfortunately that isn't the case. Goes 5 2/3. Joe Adell went yard, 2-run shot. Angel Martinez, 3-for-5, a run and a ribby. Foster Griffin was okay, 5 innings, 1 earned, 3 strikeouts. As right now, Minnesota and Detroit, they are both tied right behind the Rangers. Here's ultimately what this tells me, is that multiple bad baseball teams will be in the playoffs. And while I haven't bought on this team just yet, we should at least acknowledge the Tampa Bay Rays, who just swept the Boston Red Sox, the hottest team in Tampa Bay, the Toronto Blue Jays. Caffeine. Probably should have waited a little bit and had it right before the show. The Toronto Blue Jays just swept the Boston Red Sox. They are 2 games out of the wild card. I think on paper, Toronto is better than the 3 teams above them. The addition of Soriano replacing Gausman, that's probably a net positive. But yeah, that is something to consider right now. I have not done it, and I've been someone who's been a big proponent of Toronto over the last few years. Had 45-1 to win the World Series last year. We don't get that home, but we were able to hedge because we had a good number. I wonder if Toronto can make a push here. They obviously traded Dalton Varsho. That is an issue. I don't trust Jeff Hoffman at the end, but there's warts on all these teams. I never buy Minnesota. I am never a proponent of the Minnesota Twins, but I got to give them credit. In a year where they lost Pablo Lopez, I did not anticipate them being squarely in the mix to win the wild card. But between Texas, Minnesota, and Detroit, all those teams, dead man walking as soon as the postseason begins. I Freudianly slipped and said the Tampa Bay Rays. They were on my mind because they've won 9 games in a row. All of them on the road, by the way. As they top the A's 8-4, we do go over the total of 9. 9's a low total. You know what? I must have grabbed that when it was live. There's no way that was the original number. But either way, Tampa Bay with the win, 8-4. 9 straight wins on the road. Colorado, Seattle, and the A's. So I'll give them credit, right? I don't want to take anything away. Winning 9 games in a row is very hard. But let's also have a little context in the conversation. We're talking about 3 of the worst teams in baseball, though Colorado did just take 2 or 3 from Arizona. But you get my point. How about Liam Hicks? The catcher they acquired to get a little bit of offensive production out of the 2-spot. 3-for-5, a home run, 3 ribbies, 9 RBI since joining the Tampa Bay Rays. Liam Hicks there as Drew Rasmussen. He'll probably finish 3rd in American League Cy Young voting. 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 earned, 3 strikeouts. ERA on the season for Rasmussen is 2.78. I mentioned Colorado took 2 of 3 from Arizona. Today, the score was 6-4. We go over the total of 9. Colorado cashes plus $1.54. Ryan Feltner was tremendous, a guy who's been getting beat up for most of his career. 5 innings, 2 earned, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts. Merrill Kelly got shelled. 5 innings, 6 earned, 3 walks for him. See, this is where I'm concerned about Arizona. I've always been hesitant to believe in them this year because of the pitching. And Merrill Kelly being dependent on a guy at his age, upper 30s, at this point in the season, that's when those guys start to fade a bit. I am very concerned their pitching can hold up. Corbin Carroll, though, providing the offense once again. He becomes the only player with 100 home runs, 50 triples, 100 steals in their first 650 career games. Now we go to St. Louis, where the Cardinals won another one against the Phillies. That is a bad look. Philadelphia, since the All-Star break, 10-15 straight up. They've lost 6 of 8 series. They've scored one run or less 8 times in those 25 games. Wheeler got hit, 5 innings, 4 earned, 5 strikeouts. ERA's up to 2.89. We can burn those tickets we have on him for National League Cy Young. They ain't happening, brother. Kyle Leahy on the other side, 5 innings, 1 earned, 6 strikeouts for him. St. Louis not out of this conversation yet as far as the National League wild card is concerned as well. They're 2.5 back. They are a game behind Miami, and then there's Philadelphia tied with Arizona for the final spot. It would be very disappointing if the Phillies are not in the playoffs, and I imagine heads would roll like season one of Game of Thrones if somehow Philadelphia is not in the postseason this year. That is a bad loss. You cannot lose a series against St. Louis when you have so many teams fighting and clawing to take your position there in the standings. And then finally, the New York Yankees, Seattle Mariners. Seattle jumped out to a lead. The Yankees got the last laugh. 10-5, your final score. Grisham, 14th home run of the year. Arozarena, Canzone, and Julio Rodriguez all leave the building. The Yankees, minus 128, gets home. We go over the total of 8.5. This is Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. I'll be with you all night long. And when we return, a starter is named for the Browns in the preseason. That's next on Cashing Out.
Welcome back to Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, coming to you as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. You can catch the show on Sirius XM Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. Live baseball action, just 2 games currently going on. It remains this. Ooh, actually, it doesn't remain the same. The Angels have played it a run. 2-1, the Rangers with the lead in the fourth in Anaheim. And in Los Angeles, right up the interstate, Dodgers on top of the Royals in the fourth inning, 3-2. Now, at this time tomorrow, you know what we'll be doing? It's a beautiful thing. We will be reacting to preseason football as it wraps up across the country. That, to me, is the first official sign that football's back. I know we had the Hall of Fame game, but that is one isolated contest. Getting the like a semi-full slate on a Thursday, a bunch of different games to monitor, sweat some bets. I have some up at VSiN.com/picks for the preseason. Oh, it is here, and I am ready for it. With that, we should look at the top stories coming out of the Shield, and we do that every night on the three-point stance.
The top stories in football. Every single day.
Ice up, son. Ice up.
This is 3-Point Stance.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
We'll play intramurals, brother.
And we begin by heading to Cleveland on purpose. Deshaun Watson has been named the first starter of the first preseason game for the Cleveland Browns. Now, don't freak out. Shador Sanders is going to start the second game for Cleveland against the Bills. But this week, they are taking on the Chicago Bears at home. We open with the Browns -1. It has since flipped. We are looking at Chicago on the road as a 2.5-point road favorite. We also have a total move from 38.5 up to 40.5 for this contest being played in Cleveland, Ohio. Just want to make sure it has not moved since I wrote that down a little bit ago. And I do not see this game on the board. Where is it? Cleveland. And it is indeed 2.5 and 40.5 currently in the marketplace. Now, there's been a lot of drama around the quarterback situation in Cleveland. I mean, rinse and repeat. This happens every single year. And I think Shador Sanders being in the mix certainly exasperated this situation where you're going to have that every single week unless he's actually playing. I will say this. We're about to hear from Shador Sanders. Because the drama was the reporters freaking out that in practice a couple days ago, After Todd Monken said one of them would go first, the other one would go second, he flipped it at the start of practice and had either Watson or Shador go first, even though he said they were going to go second. It doesn't sound like a big deal. The reporters made a big deal about it. Shador Sanders reacted to everyone reacting to that earlier today.
No, I don't think with the coaches that we have, you ever wonder. I think whatever is said is direct. Obviously, it's like we was informed, you know, in everything the right way. So it was never a miscommunication between us, you know. So I don't know. I just don't really appreciate sometimes if things happen and if things happen and y'all just jump on the coast like he just tripping or something, you know. I don't really like that because it creates just extra, and I hope we all here to want to win, you know, and be a team and be a franchise. So it's kind of like we got to slow down, you know, if that's what we want. But if we just in here to just make money and get clicks, then, you know, we understand that too.
That's a great clip. He is 100% right. The media made that situation way worse than it needed to be. The reality is Todd Monken's the head coach. He's allowed to do whatever he wants. But the tone in Shador's voice is what I want to focus on here, because that sounds like a kid whose head coach believes in him, that has empowered him, that he's willing to defend to the media that way because he thinks he got done wrong. Not himself. He thinks Todd Monken got done wrong. Now, Todd Monken being nice to Shador Sanders and believing him, well, he should. Todd Monken's 60 years old. It's his first time ever getting a shot being a head coach in the league. And I like Todd Monken. I've enjoyed the offenses he's run before, but there is a reason why. But I do appreciate that Monken's coming in after Stefanski and Shador were never on the same page. And it does appear to seem that the communication has been spot on, even though the media didn't get the memo of who was going to go first in practice the other day. But that was a good clip. And I think just let you know that the drama is always going to be there in Cleveland. It's about having people in place who can deal with that and put away the distractions and focus on ball, which is something Shador and company are trying to do going forward. Some other news as far as the preseason is concerned. Falcons head coach Kevin Stefanski said Tua Tagovailoa will start the Falcons preseason opener against the Broncos. That one opened Denver -3.5 on the road. It's now up to 4.5. Total up from 37 to 39.5 in that contest. Because on the other end, Jarrett Stidham, Sam Ellinger will each play a half against the Falcons in the first preseason game. You have to imagine that Tua is not going to be in there very long with his injury history. And then the Broncos having a battle for their second quarterback spot between Stidham and Ellinger. We now go to Chicago, where Ben Johnson, speaking to the media, talked about his goals for 2026 and said this, quote, "I want more than the Super Bowl. I want to have the highest scoring offense ever, which happens to be the 2013 Broncos. I know how many points per game they scored, 37.9, and I want to surpass them. I want shutouts. I want blowouts." 2013 Denver offense, that was the end of Peyton Manning at his peak, where he was just delivering the football and running an offense that no one's ever run, where the quarterback was calling the plays. The quarterback was making up all the game plans, and he was just picking teams apart at the line of scrimmage. I don't know if that's going to be possible this year for Chicago. Maybe next year, but the schedule is tough, right? They still have to face a lot of good defenses. Minnesota in week 2, Philadelphia in week 3. And when they go to Green Bay, Parsons won't be back, but I still think that defense will be solid. New England week 7, on the road in Seattle in week 9, Jacksonville in week 13, at Buffalo week 15, and then at Minnesota week 18. Sure, there's some spots to put up points, but if you're going to do what they did, be the highest scoring offense of all time, you're going to need a few more easy, cushy landing spots in the schedule. But I love it for Ben Johnson. I love that he's completely the opposite of what we were told he was with the media when he was interviewing for jobs. He was a nerd. We were told he also couldn't relate to people. He had no interpersonal skills. He believes in his players. He is very confident in what he does. And to me, I love the trickle down in leadership that brings to the table. Now, finally, we go back to Atlanta, where I mentioned Tua is going to start the first preseason game. We do not know the status of Michael Penix Jr., as the latest report via the mouth of Michael Penix Jr. on his recovery, quote, "I can do just about everything except for take a hit. That's what we're trying to avoid right now." A doctor told him, according to reports, that his ACL is amazing. It feels like a presidential quote. "I have the best ACLs in the world," even though he's torn both of them. Either way, I will not believe in the Atlanta Falcons this year like a lot of my contemporaries in the media have. am thinking that they could potentially win this division if Tua Tagovailoa is the starter. The only chance you have of sucking me into the Falcons is if Michael Penix Jr. is healthy and ready to play. He discussed his health when he went on Cam Newton's podcast yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I want to start. I want to start the first game of the season, you know, but at the end of the day, it's about how it feels. So it's like, it's not really a time frame on it. It's more like, it's like some small, like growing pains that, you know, I go through that I got to make sure, you know, I'm at 100% to where it's like, when I get out there, I don't want to be thinking about it. Because like a lot of it's mental. You know, it's like, all right. Yeah, it's like physically, I got a good ACL. Yeah. The doctors, they did what they got to do. I can go out there and do anything. But mentally, you hesitate. Yeah. And it's like, and do I trust it?
Yeah, that concerns me. I still can't get there with Atlanta. I want to get there because I believe in the weapons. I am the biggest Bijan Robinson guy out there. I love him. Drake London is a monster. Kyle Pitts finally lived up to the potential as the season went on. And I think that O-line is going to be really good in the way that Stefanski schemes up his offense based off the run. The problem is Tua can't throw the ball. Legitimately, I watched a highlight today that they posted from the official Atlanta Falcons account. And the ball's barely getting there, like 15 yards downfield. Michael Penix at least gives you the opportunity to stretch it just a little bit. There's a threat over the top of a big play happening. That disappears if you have Tua at quarterback, if you're the Atlanta Falcons. That's why if I'm looking at that division, while I'll poke and holes through everyone, I'll be chalky and I'll be boring. I'll believe in Baker Mayfield. I'll believe in the Buccaneers that they will get things right after not winning the NFC South a year ago, because Atlanta has the upside. And New Orleans, I am very hesitant to back. Because if you go look at the schedule last year, when Tyler Shuck was going off, it was against some of the worst teams in football, plus the Carolina Panthers a couple times. I need to see that happen against some really quality teams in the league before I buy into year two. I like Kellen Moore. I like Tyler Shuck. I just don't know if they're ready to win this division, even though this is one of those divisions that is always hovering right around 500. Football's back. And some of the best betting opportunities of the year, they start with the NFL preseason. Sign up for VSiN Pro today. Get both our NFL and college football betting guides packed with team previews, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from everyone here at the network. You'll also get daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, and more on the VSiN website. Start today for just $9.99. Get a full year, save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. 1 hour from now, we go to Los Angeles. Talk Chargers. Difficult schedule for LA this year with the travel spots, but a new OC with the potential to put up crazy stats with Justin Herbert. Also, later on in the show, I'll make a case for a player I want to bet over on their sack total for the season. But when we return, Kyler Murray's in Minnesota now. How does he fit in with what Kevin O'Connell wants to do? The guy who drafted him, Steve Keim, joins us next on Cashing Out.
Cashing Out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on Cashing Out, I'm Dustin Sweetelson, broadcasting as always from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Appreciate you making us a part of your night, however you may be tuning in. SiriusXM channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, and radio affiliates across the United States of God Bless America. I am really excited for this next conversation because, one, this guy's always been bold. He's not afraid to give his opinion on things, even when he was the GM of the Arizona Cardinals. I also admire him for my money as a big fella. He is the best-dressed big fella I've ever seen in the NFL. Suit game off the charts, and he's got a new show. It is called Inside Football. Saw some clips earlier today on YouTube. Everyone check it out. He is Steve Keim, and he joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. So, Steve, thanks for doing this, man. Welcome to the dark side. You're in the media now. What's the experience been like so far coming over here and having a microphone in your face?
Dustin, it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's obviously I've always had a great connection with our fan base and certainly appreciate what everybody does in the media and have a lot of respect for what you guys do on a daily basis. But dinner will be on you when I come to Vegas next time.
Deal. That is a deal. Now, hopefully, I'll have a little bit more money to spend on that dinner, Steve, if I'm winning these preseason games. You've been behind the scenes. We don't have the information you guys have. We don't even know what you guys are thinking when you get ready for preseason football. But when I tell you that we have a lot of very sharp, smart people, sophisticated bettors who consistently win money betting on preseason games, does that blow your mind as someone who's been there planning for these situations for such a long time?
It does, because the preseason, in my mind, is made up for the back end of the roster. In particular, guys like Larry Fitzgerald, Carson Palmer, J.J. Watt, guys that I've had on my roster, are not going to play very much. So essentially, you are betting and putting your hard-earned money on the line for guys who are going to be working at UPS or FedEx in a few weeks.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, we still do it anyway. And a guy you're very familiar with was in the news recently, Kyler Murray, named the starter in Minnesota. What do you think of him going up there playing for Kevin O'Connell, and how could he fit what they're trying to do?
I'm not surprised whatsoever that he has already earned the starting position. Again, not to validate myself, but Kyler Murray is a tremendous talent, as we all know. The biggest things, obviously, were his preparation and his ability to focus. I think if Kevin O'Connell can get him in a situation where he's playing ahead of the sticks, meaning he's not in third and 15, not in third and 12, is not in the gun consistently, where you're having your run game mesh with your pass game, your ability to have play action and boots and waggles off of that run game that mix, I think Kyler Murray's best football could potentially be ahead of him.
How far do you think they could go? Do you think this is potentially a playoff team with that Brian Flores defense, the weapons with Jefferson and Hawkinson and Addison in a good run game? Can Kyler Murray be that last piece that guides them to the playoffs?
I have no doubt. Listen, the one thing that I said today on our show Inside Football that not many people would understand, as a general manager, my two favorite players in that draft when we had the number one pick were Nick Bosa and Quinton Williams. I thought those guys were tremendous talents, and I still think they are. And my position as an NFL general manager, I had to do what was best for the organization. So my job was to propel our team in the fastest way we can in the NFL, which is a today, not tomorrow game. And quite frankly, Kyler Murray was the guy that was going to propel us forward, and it succeeded. In 2 years, we won 11 games, and we're 9-0 at one point, and basically the best team in the NFL until he got hurt on a Thursday night game against the Green Bay Packers. So I still stick behind that decision, yet at the same time, he's had some ups and downs. But, I think Kevin O'Connell is a tremendous coach. I think schematically he's really good, and I think Brian Flores does a great job bringing pressure on the defensive side.
Steve Keim is our guest, former Arizona Cardinals GM, also on X at Steve_Keim72. And you can check out Inside Football at Inside FB Shows on YouTube. All the information's there. They're doing an awesome job right now. I see a bunch of really good videos up on the page currently. I mean, you've drafted so well. Kyler Murray, Budda Baker, Tyrann Mathieu in the third round. It is really, really remarkable. When I went back and looked at some of the moves you made and the draft picks you made, 2014 Exec of the Year, and you were facing an uphill battle, Steve, in that NFC West. The Rams are there. The Seattle Seahawks are there, defending Super Bowl champs. And then the Niners, who are always in the conversation. How do you think that division shakes out with the Rams being such a heavy Super Bowl favorite this season?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. Last week, our Inside Football staff was there at the Rams. We got a chance to ask Sean McVay and Les Snead, the general manager, a lot of questions. They look so on point to do a great job this year. Obviously, attrition is a huge issue in the NFL. When I say attrition, I mean injuries. The San Francisco 49ers, unfortunately, over the years have been hit with injury plagues. But at the same time, you know, let's not discount the Super Bowl champions in the Seattle Seahawks. As much as we want to talk about the addition of Myles Garrett, who I'm a big fan of, obviously, and there's no doubt in my mind that Aaron Donald is coming back, okay? But at the same time, you still have to unseat the Super Bowl champion. And I think that, you know, John Schneider has done a tremendous job building that roster and building it in a way where it is based off of young players and the lifeblood of every organization, which is through the draft.
So you're not ready to say it's the Rams division right now. Seattle beat them twice last year. They ended up hoisting the Lombardi. You're pretty bullish that Seattle can really be one of the top teams in the NFC again.
Yeah, no doubt. I think that it's going to be a real you know, obviously 17 games now, and it's going to go to 18 games. I have no doubt about that. You know, again, it's a long season, depending on how injuries sort of take its place with both those organizations. I think it's going to be a real fight to the end between those teams in the NFC West and, in general, the NFC at the top.
Steve Keim is our guest, former Cardinals GM. Inside Football is the show. Check it out on YouTube at Inside FB Shows, part of the Wingo Network there with Trey Wingo at the helm. Steve, we've got two first-year head coaches that have a ton of pressure on them in Baltimore and Buffalo in the AFC. They're both 10-1 to win the Super Bowl, but they're not really getting an acclimation period. How do you feel about the transition Buffalo did going to Joe Brady and Baltimore bringing back Jesse Minter?
Well, you know, I would say this. When you're in a position where you inherit a team that has franchise quarterbacks, and when I say franchise quarterbacks, I'm talking about guys that are arguably top seven quarterbacks in the National Football League, in you know, Lamar Jackson and obviously Josh Allen, the pressure is on you. You know, you have to obviously be able to you know, take advantage of the sort of what you have taken over. And those guys are both going to be in a situation where there's a lot of expectations. And if you don't have success early, you know, the boo birds will come out very quickly.
Steve, I'm curious, the Chicago Bears, this is one of these teams where a lot of people have opposite opinions on. There's some people who believe Chicago picks up where they left off 11 wins a year ago. They're going to be an NFC contender for years to come. There's others that say, hold on, it's the NFL. You put your best stuff out there, you have success, and then people start to figure you out. In that NFC North, though, Detroit's the favorite. They look susceptible. Green Bay doesn't have Parsons at the start of the year. We've talked about Minnesota. How do you feel about year two of Ben Johnson with the Chicago Bears?
Here's the way I feel about Chicago, and I'll sum it up very quickly. I think that their quarterback is a tremendous talent and a guy who continually will develop. Where my trust is in Ben Johnson. From an outsider, I don't know Ben personally, and I'm only watching it from afar. But he is a guy that I have a tremendous amount of respect for because I think he holds the players accountable, and I think he's got a great system in place. I would bet my money on the fact that this guy is going to continue to help this young quarterback grow, and he'll continue to put a, you know, basically an accountable situation in place where he is going to win games, and he has a system where his players believe in him.
That is a great answer. Steve Keim is our guest, former Cardinals GM. Also, check him out, Inside Football, at Inside FB Shows on YouTube. Before I let you go, I'll let you be in the prediction business right now, Steve. Is there a team you're identifying that you think is your favorite to win the Super Bowl?
At this point, you know, I honestly, as much as I love what the Rams are doing and that they're sort of going all in, I would not bet against John Schneider and the Seattle Seahawks. I think they have done it right. They have built through the draft. They supplemented in free agency. And I don't see them taking any steps back. Again, it's a long season, and we'll continue to monitor this thing. I wouldn't, you know, rule out the Philadelphia Eagles because I think Howie Roseman does a great job. But more than not, again, the Seattle Seahawks are my pick to win the Super Bowl.
Steve, you're awesome at this media thing. I'm sure you'll get another crack running a team at some point, but we're going to enjoy having you on the dark side for the while. Thanks for the time tonight. Would love to chat throughout the football season as well.
Would love that as well, my friend. I appreciate you.
Awesome stuff. Steve Keim, former Cardinals GM, at Steve_Keim72 on X, and the show is Inside Football. That was very glowing, talking about the Seattle Seahawks. It does feel like we all kind of said, you know what? The way they won wasn't all that appealing. The Super Bowl was a hideous game we're trying to forget, as if they don't return almost everyone other than Kenneth Walker, and that defense is locked and loaded. Mike McDonald is a road warrior. Yeah, maybe we should take him a little bit more seriously. We should also take the Jets and Raiders more serious this year. I'll explain why next.
Cashing out here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back at it on Cashing Out. I'm Dustin Sweetelson coming at you from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. Late night baseball action in our eyeballs right now. Dodgers in front of the Royals 4-2, sixth inning. We missed our opportunity. They were minus 142 when we hit the air. They were losing by one, and now they're up by two and currently laying almost $12. Kansas City's plus 799.5 is your in-game total. Out in Anaheim, the Rangers are on top of the Angels 2-1. Currently, Texas minus 267, plus 227 the other way with the Angels. 6.5 your total in that one. More on the Rangers coming up for their matchup on Thursday as Jacob deGrom takes the hill. He'll be part of three up, three down, and it's probably not the side you'd anticipate for a guy that's going to the Hall of Fame. More on that later as far as Major League Baseball is concerned. But we are still all over the NFL getting ready for the preseason games coming up on Thursday. And in case you missed it, go to VSiN.com. Steve Mackinnon with just some incredible information that is going to make you a better. Stuff that blew me away when I was just diving through the numbers here for Mackinnon. Also, Matt Youmans with his thoughts on all the depth charts in the National Football League. But some trends that I thought were interesting and worth bringing up here. NFL preseason week one betting trends via Steve Mackinnon. So underdogs on the road of 2.5 points or less have gone 84-43 against the spread since 2015. That is 66.1%. According to his system, that's plays on the Chargers +1.5 at Houston, Arizona +1.5 at the Raiders, Carolina +1.5 at Buffalo, the Rams +2.5 at Kansas City, Jacksonville +1.5 at New Orleans. The one that I keep going back and forth on is Arizona. I think that's the right side. When you have a kid in Carson Beck who's trying to prove himself on that depth chart, you also have Keaton Slovis who's trying to hang on in the league, Gardner Minshew who's been through this song and dance before and was previously a starter. I just really like that quarterback room for the Cardinals at +1.5. They also have a game under their belt. I think that's a benefit as well. Some of those nerves are gone. Not so much for the main guys. It's more about the dudes that are going to be playing later in the game where they just got that out of their system. And for the Raiders, those guys competing for jobs feel a little bit of pressure because they haven't gotten out there yet. I think the edge is Arizona at +1.5. That is one that I'm considering adding here. VSiN.com for all the Mackinnon trends. That's just one of many that I wrote down that we'll share throughout the program tonight. But speaking of the Raiders, let's start there first, guys, with Kirk Cousins, because when I look at what they did this offseason, it's pretty clear to me. The objective is to be more competitive. It's just to be a better, more sound football team. I know that sounds super simplistic, like no kidding. Everyone wants to do that. But think about this rough patch that this organization's been on since coming to Las Vegas. They have the Gruden debacle with the way things shook out. They're forced to stick with Antonio Pierce, who has no business being the head coach of a franchise. They try to patch it together with a 70-year-old Pete Carroll on the fly, and it doesn't work for a second. Now they bring in a young guy in Clint Kubiak. He's never been a head coach before, but the pedigree's there. I know a lot of people like to cry nepotism. Clint Kubiak just ran one of the more impressive offenses that turned Sam Darnold, a cast off in the league, into an MVP candidate, but more importantly, a team that won a Super Bowl with him at the helm. I think that Clint Kubiak, there will be some growing pains, but he was built for this. He's ready for this. And this is about raising the floor. The ceiling, you'll get there. You'll build to the ceiling. But you can't do it without a foundation. And thus far, Kirk Cousins told SiriusXM NFL Radio he's impressed with what he's seen from Kubiak thus far.
He's had a real clear process as to what he wants our team to look like, to play like. He's a no-nonsense guy. I sent him a message after OTAs, and I objectively felt this was the most urgent and most productive offseason program I've been around. And I think it really was that because of Clint. I felt he just came in every day with an urgency, with an organization, with an intentionality to what he wanted to get done. And I felt that the staff and the team followed that. And so I think that bodes well for us and for the future. He's a no-nonsense guy. You know, yeah. At times I try to bring personality maybe to offset. And he jokes about it. He said, hey, I'm a little dull, and that's the way God made me.
I'm a little dull, and that's the way God made me. I love that. That means he's a mad scientist in the lab. He's just all about ball. That's what I want out of my head coach, because if he is so good, if he is such an elite X's and O's tactician, the other stuff will come. He'll find his identity. He'll find his leadership style. But if they're just a buttoned-up football team, that will instill belief in the roster, and they will play better because they'll have more confidence as the season goes on. Here's the thing. Win total right now, I just looked before, was 6.5. I think Circa still has a 5.5 posted, having to lay some juice. While I think they're going to be better, they're going to be more competitive, I ain't touching that win total over. Instead, this is a team picking your spots as an underdog, I think is going to be someone you're going to want to back routinely throughout the season. And I think the part that probably is getting a bit swept under the rug and not getting enough notoriety is what they did on defense in the offseason. I think the additions of Quay Walker, N'Kobe Dean at linebacker, Quiddy Pay from Indianapolis at outside linebacker edge to get after quarterbacks, I just think you're dealing with a lot of talent there that if they could find a way to turn those guys into what they're capable of being, the defense is going to keep them in games. And then what you're asking an older Kirk Cousins to do just isn't that much. But right now I look at their schedule. I don't see 6 wins. I kind of see 5, right? I think that this is a team that beats Cleveland on the road. I think they win at Arizona. I think they probably beat Miami week 1. And I think they can take the Jets in week 8. Right there, we're looking at 4. Then we just need a couple 50-50 balls to go our way, right? There's a few spots here where things could go in their direction. Like, we don't know what the Saints look like in week 3. There's a few other teams like the Titans on their schedule where that could go in their direction as well. I think this is probably a 5-win team. That's why I would lean to the under 5.5 at plus $1.20, but they're going to be competitive, and I am a Kirk Cousins stan. I am one of the few left remaining here that believes in him. Now, another team that I think falls into this same boat, that would be the New York Jets. And if you go back and look, they got no production from quarterback a year ago. They trotted out Justin Fields. They tried Tyrod Taylor for a little. We even saw some Brady Cook. Geno Smith was not good for the Raiders. I'm not so sure that was all on Geno Smith. And Garrett Wilson earlier today on NFL Network talked about what it's been like having Geno Smith at Jets camp this season.
It's super cerebral, just digesting looks from the defense, knowing what they're in before we can see it as receivers and kind of giving us those cues to know what we're about to get. So I don't know why I was like, when I had an expectation when he first got here, and he's just exceeded all of them as far as, you know, I talked to Jackson. He's like, yeah, he's cool. We're going to do this and that. But once he got up in front of that first offensive meeting and gave us the cadence.
Right.
And I thought he brought it with him from Oakland or from Seattle. He was like, no, I just learned this. And he was able to regurgitate it to us perfectly. Stuff that's like, it sounds simple right now, but it's hard stuff, yeah. You know, and that's when I first knew. And then once we get out there at practice, he wants to talk through every play after, you know, stuff that I like, and you all of a sudden you find answers to everything. So we're still getting there. We're working through it, and to have another team there this week to finally try those things, it felt even more real.
Pretty remarkable that Garrett Wilson, with the quarterback play he's had in his career, over 1,000 yards, three of the last 4 seasons. I mean, that's insane. But that's a pretty glowing endorsement of Geno Smith coming in and believing in him and what he's bringing to the table on a Jets team that's going to be better. I don't think there's any way around this. I don't understand the talk. People think this could be the team with the worst record in the league. I don't see it. Aaron Glenn cannot afford that. That's starters. Aaron Glenn will be fired if they are not more competitive. I know that's not the reason why they will win games, right? Motivation only works if you have the skill and talent to follow through with it and execute. But I don't think Aaron Glenn is as bad as he appeared in his first year as a head coach. We have to give him a little bit of credit that he might have learned something. He also has a pretty good pedigree as a coach. The defense got so much better. Okay, there are professionals here. This is a legitimate team. The roster has way been bolstered with some of the talent. DeMario Davis, a veteran, been through it before. Joseph Asai is a linebacker who can get after quarterbacks. He is very athletic. Minka Fitzpatrick, David Onyemata. Like, these are guys that have played in a lot of games in the league. You just have men in this locker room now instead of children like it was the last few years. And then offensively, Garrett Wilson, A.D. Mitchell, the rookie Omar Cooper, Tim Patrick probably is going to steal one of those guys' jobs other than Wilson. I think there's going to be so much more respectable with a guy in Geno Smith who just needs to operate this offense and not do too much. If he doesn't do too much and just is a slightly above a game manager, the Jets will run into some wins. I'm not going to get there and bet the over 5.5 on the win total. Instead, again, like the Raiders, look for spots as a dog when the number's too big because they're going to be competitive. Football season's right around the corner, and just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league in that they let you practice the same football plays you already study. Props, sides, totals, and combos. Everyone starts 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen. Use code VEASAN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. Jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50.